Welcome to episode 23 of the Tag Teamers Podcast. SummerSlam last night, a lot to go over. What do you want to kick it off with?
Let's go right into the main event. Roman Reigns returns, biggest story of the night. What are your thoughts on the return?
Yeah, so I think it was pretty much as we expected as of Friday. We expected a return during the match. Roman not necessarily helping Cody specifically, but more just, you know, he's got a beef with the Bloodline now, and he's going to make his intentions known as far as that goes. So pretty much, you know, like shortened to the point, as you expect from Roman. He's not going to be in there too long doing a whole lot of messing around. Just come in with the punch and the spear and call it a day and allow Cody to retain the title.
Yeah. Something about the return fell off to me. You know, the pop didn't quite hit the levels I thought it was going to hit. Maybe that's partially because Jacob Fatu got hurt. I think maybe there was supposed to be a little something more with Jacob Fatu in the ring before Roman came out. Because when Roman's music hits, Cody and Solo are both just laying in the ring, which kind of felt like weird timing.
Yeah, I thought it was odd too. And it makes sense now. But at the time, like, I just thought the Fatu injury was a work. So, yeah, like, I thought it was weird, but now we know they were probably just kind of working with whatever they could do under the circumstances, and it just didn't turn out as perfectly as they had hoped. But, yeah, I wanted to see him wipe out Jacob Fatu also. I mean, like I said, I was texting you, and I was like, okay, Orton's going to come out with Owens, wipe out Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa, and then Fatu will come in. And Roman will come in and wipe him out along with Solo to get Cody the win. And they just couldn't quite execute it that way because of the injury.
Yeah. A few weeks back when we did our hot takes, we responded to the hot takes on Twitter. Somebody had said Jacob Fatu is siding with Roman. So do I think that's the case? No, I didn't think it was the case then. But maybe it's worth talking about. Maybe it is a work. And maybe Jacob Fatu just stayed outside the ring to help Roman. Is there any possibility of that, you think?
Yeah, because, I mean, he was holding his knee. But then in the picture that comes out after SummerSlam, he's in a walking boot. So I don't know what sense that makes. I mean, he was clearly holding his knee, pretty sure. I mean, I could go back and watch it again, but if I remember correctly, like, it was pretty obviously he's holding his knee. So that doesn't really add up. So that gives some credence to that theory. So I'm definitely open to it. I'm not 100% sure that that's incorrect. I think that's quite possible.
Yeah, I mean, the impact, when the knee hits the table, I mean, it's clearly the knee. It's not the foot.
Yeah, you know? I don't know why you'd ever hurt your foot jumping on the table.
Yeah, so
it doesn't make any sense.
So I won't rule it out. I mean, I don't think it makes sense to have Jacob Fatu with Roman, especially if Roman's going to be a face, but I guess you can't entirely rule it out. I mean, Roman spears Solo, as we thought. He kind of gives the nod to Cody, as predicted as well. Do you think we're getting Cody Roman 3 at some point?
I don't think at this point in time we're going to be headed down that road.
Yeah, me either. I think he's got his hands full with the Bloodline.
Yeah, I don't think he's really... I don't think he has any animosity towards Cody. He's going to be this baby face and who's feuding with the Bloodline. I don't think he's going to have anything against Cody at all, to be honest with you. Do we get it at some point a couple years down the road? Maybe, but not right now. I don't think that's going to have any relevance.
Yeah. I'm in the same boat as you. Let's talk of the rest of the match. Anything stick out that you want to talk about?
I thought it could have been a great match. I think, you know, there were a lot of good twists and turns and everything. It's just Solo's choreography and him just messing stuff up constantly that sort of takes back from it, takes away from it. That's all, really. It's just Cody's in there working with an inferior talent who shouldn't be main eventing SummerSlam, and you get what you pretty much would expect with that formula. But it was still a good match. It's not as good as it could have been if Solo was actually any good in the ring.
Yeah. I mean, the Bloodline rules stipulation helped, you know, because of the returns of Owens and Orton and Roman, you know, making the save, and obviously the table spot with Jacob Fatu. So it kind of covered up some of the miscues a little bit, because mostly what you remember is the return of Roman. I'm a little surprised we still haven't seen Jimmy Uso.
Yeah, and leading up to any of the like who came out first, Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa, like leading up to that, it was the worst match of the night. But yeah, I mean, what do you think the holdup is with Jay or Jimmy? Sorry.
I'm not sure. I mean, if there was the injury to Jacob Fatu, who knows how that changed everything? Because Jimmy might have came out, you know, in between Roman coming out and what happened. There's a small possibility plans got altered there. But if that's not the case, I don't know what the issue is with Jimmy. I guess maybe if Roman's going to feud with the Bloodline, it could just be one of those things where Roman has to recruit those guys back and, you know, make good with the guys that he's kind of had issues with. So it could just be one of those processes where, you know, he's not making the save for Jimmy because he has to go, you know, make it up to Jimmy, apologize, recruit him back, you know, things like that.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you know, the Jacob Fatu siding with Roman thing, I don't think would be good at all. I don't think that's a good idea. It should be Roman's back on his own, and now he has to build up another gang or faction or group from the ground up again, and he has to kind of go like round up whoever he deems appropriate for that on his own, and that's how it should go. I mean, you know, we see that time and time again in movies. Like, that's just a classic character arc, and I think Jimmy and maybe Jay would be appropriate for that. Although maybe not Jay, because then it's just back to the same old bloodline again, and I guess it looks like Jay may be tag teaming with Sammy, so I would like to see a little bit of a difference. I don't want to see just the same exact group again.
That's what I'm expecting. I'm expecting to see it end up being Roman recruits Jimmy, recruits Jay, and then recruits Sammy, you know, to
Real
reunite the
okay.
OG bloodline. That's kind of what I think we're gonna get is like the OG bloodline versus the Wish version.
Yeah, you're probably right. I guess the fresh component to that is just that they'll be baby faces now.
Yeah, right. And
Yeah.
people obviously want to cheer him, so it makes sense. We didn't see Heyman.
Right. Yeah, I was gonna say, do you think he's gonna be back with them?
I would imagine. I mean, I was expecting Heyman to come first, you know, and then to bring out Roman. That's kind of what I was expecting, but obviously we didn't go that direction. Maybe, I don't know. I really don't know what's happening with Heyman there.
Yeah, he'll probably be back soon. I feel like that might have just been too big of a drawn out interruption. You have Paul Heyman come out on the stage, and then it's just kind of silence, and they're all just staring at the stage, and he takes 30 seconds to a minute to introduce Roman, and then you get a big drawn out Roman coming down to the ring. That might have just been too long.
Yeah, could have been. Could have been. Another thing is, as you mentioned, Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa come out first. Strategically, I don't know why this happens with the Bloodline. This has happened a couple times. Why don't all three of those guys come out together? Jacob Fatu, Tama Tonga, and Tonga Loa. Like, wouldn't it make sense to get the full numbers advantage as soon as you can?
Yeah, for sure. I just think it's just the theatrical component of it. They just split it up for that reason. That way you can just get more ups and downs within that part of the match, I guess. But yeah, I mean, like, tactically it doesn't make any sense. But if those two come out first, then obviously you can just have Orton and Owens take them out, then Fatu comes out, gives the advantage back to Solo, and then Roman comes out, gives the advantage to Cody, and then it's able to end.
Yeah. Yep. And I mean, I guess it sets up an ambush. I guess maybe that's the strategic planning of it, is it's an ambush. But yeah, another thing is Cody Rhodes, I think he needs to get a new finisher. The Crossroads, I mean, how many times he hit it on Solo? You know, three, four times until he could pin Solo.
I'm glad you brought that up because I actually had the thought. I was like, why is the Cody Cutter the signature and the Crossroads the finisher? I just feel like it should be the other way around. I mean, of course, the crossroads, you can, you know, you can pull it out easier in different situations. It doesn't require as much of a perfect setup, but the Cody Cutter is a way better move. Way better.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, nobody wants to see a finisher that you need to hit. Like, he literally hits it three times consecutively in a row. Like, they're not like he hits it once and then comes back to it later in the match. Like, to end matches, sometimes he literally does it back to back to back. So I just think he maybe needs to move off of that as his finisher, or at least add something to the playbook.
Yeah, it's definitely a weak point. Like, I don't think the crossroads is really any better than LA Knight's finisher.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree. It can look cool, though. I mean, when the right person's selling it, it does look pretty cool to me.
Yeah. But yeah, it's definitely not a strength of Cody's.
Yeah. Another thing that I mean, if you want to talk about drawn out, I think Cody's entrance was drawn out. I mean, that how long did we see him before he actually came out to the arena? 2-3 minutes?
Yeah, I don't like seeing him in the RV.
Yeah.
I just don't think that's a good look.
Right. Like, no one told me at a match, you know, he's just sitting in the RV 5 minutes before it came, not warming up, nothing.
Yeah, just the environment of seeing him in an RV right before his match. It's just weird. And then the dog.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not us. I don't know. I mean, I know people are obsessed with dogs. I like dogs, but I don't know. It's just weird.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to see the WWE champ walking his dog before he. That's just, it's such cheap, not a cheap pop, but like, you don't really get a pop for it. But, you know, it's just like such a cheap way to try to get some more, like, just win the fans over. I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't know what the term is for it, but we just don't need that. The Arn Anderson thing was okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't mind that. But again, it was kind of like, we don't need it spelled out for us.
Yeah, right. And I mean, honestly, the Arn thing kind of set my mind to different places. Like when he said, oh, you have friends that are coming. I was kind of thinking it might be somebody other than Orton and Owens with just like Arn saying it and hyping it up rather than, yeah, you got friends coming, the same friends that have been helping you out for the last 2 months. You know, like why build that up when that's what it is? So, but it was cool to see Arn back on TV, but I don't know if I really needed, you know, the 2-minute speech.
Yeah, because didn't he say, like, he kind of set it up so that he would have help?
Yeah, right. That's
so it's kinda like, what? So yeah. It's just the same people that it's been for the past month and a half. Like, he didn't need you to ask them.
Right, you exactly. Know? The same people that have been feuding with the Bloodline this whole time, you know?
Yeah. And then, yeah, I had the same feeling as you where once I saw it was Owens, I was kind of disappointed because I thought it was going to be something a little bit different based off of what he said.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I mean, I shouldn't have thought this, but my mind went there a little bit once we seen Arn, because this was the first time we've seen Arn back on WWE television since, you know, he left AEW. But when he said the friends thing, I was kind of thinking we might be getting somebody from AEW whose contract has recently ran up, like Ricky Starks, who Cody's good friends with in real life. But, I mean, obviously I was thinking this would be a weird spot to debut him. You know, that'd be a big spot to put him in. But once Arn kind of hyped it up like that, that's kind of where my mind went. So I didn't really like that. Another thing I didn't like about Cody is when he comes out and he makes the entrance with the mask is cool. But when I just watched you put it on 10 seconds ago, it's not cool.
Yeah, I completely agree. It should have just been, there should not been a lead up to him coming out. It's not, no, like not for him. I think those are cool in general, but not in this situation.
Yeah, definitely agree.
I shouldn't have seen him until he's out on the stage.
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel. Especially the funny thing is that Solo makes his entrance first. So, you know, Solo's just sitting in the ring for 5 minutes while this is going on.
Yeah. Like, is Solo seen on the Jumbotron that Arn's like, yeah, you're going to have some help coming.
Yeah, right. So, I don't know. There was a lot with that entrance I didn't really care for. Is there anything else from that match you want to touch on before we move on?
No, that's pretty much it. Solid match. Solo's terrible in the ring again, in my opinion. Feel pretty strongly about that. His choreography's terrible. The one where he goes to like clothesline Cody and almost hits the ref. But he literally did it in like this speed. He couldn't do it for full speed for some reason. Then he can't set the steps up in the corner. It takes him 10 seconds to do that, right? I mean, he just, the whole bloodline is just constantly messing all the choreography up, except for Jacob Fatu. But then he maybe gets himself injured. And everything aside from Jacob Fatu's athleticism and stuff, I think is trash.
Yeah, I mean, like, I mean, you mentioned it, but like Tongaloa, when he picks Cody up, misses the turnbuckle at first, brings him into the rope, constant thing with him. I would say overall, I did enjoy the match. Solo's now main evented more SummerSlams than Batista.
Yeah, that ain't right. That ain't right. But I enjoyed the match too.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. You wanna what match you wanna touch on next?
We can do we touched on LA Knight's finisher a little bit, so we can just hop into that if you want.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, you nailed it with Mr. Cleveland being Machine Gun Kelly. Aside from that, I mean, Logan was good in the ring. The what was it? The springboard moonsault. I mean, that was a beautiful move. Yeah, most beautiful one of the, yeah, best move of the night. LA Knight finally gets a championship, well deserved. The only thing was the brass knuckles thing. I thought was weird, just kind of getting no-sold a little bit. He gets hit with the brass knuckles and then he's fine 3 seconds later to win the match.
Yeah,
I feel like whenever somebody gets hit with brass knuckles, they're out for minutes at a time.
I don't know if maybe part of that was because he got it from MGK. Maybe it's just like a different set of brass knucks. I don't know. But yeah, that was weird. That was weird. Logan, he did good tonight or last night. You know, the moonsault, as you said, was great, but a lot of the storytelling in this match wasn't there for me. Even, you know, when LA Knight beats up on the truck, you know, he takes one side window out, you know, like that's not really the impact we were looking for. We were looking for that thing to be destroyed, vandalized, something, you know, not just taking one side window out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, 15, 20 years ago, they would have just blown that thing up.
Yeah.
Vince would have had that thing blown up, filled with concrete, like spray painted, whatever. And now one window. I mean, you got people on my street do that.
Yeah. Yeah, that wasn't much. I mean, he could have popped some tires, something more than just take one side window out. Didn't do it for me, but I want to celebrate the win, so I don't want to take too much away from that. I mean, I'm glad LA Knight finally got some gold, long overdue. And honestly, I'm just glad Logan's away from the U.S. title. I'm interested to see what's next for him, where he goes, what kind of matches he's going to have. But, I mean, I think that this should have happened a month or two ago, but I'm glad it finally happened. I guess the thought was to get LA Knight the win in front of a stadium rather than an arena.
Yeah. Yep. Anything else to say about that match, really? Or
not
there wasn't
really
much to it.
Yeah. Not really.
It was pretty, it wasn't very long. The story leading up to it wasn't very good anyway.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the other mid-card title match, Bron Breakker versus Sami Zayn. Another one that was pretty short.
Yeah.
Went also mostly the way we had said on Saturday after SmackDown. Wasn't really a squash match, but wasn't a whole lot of trouble for Bron Breakker. Like I had said, Sami would get a few little runs in the match here and there, but ultimately it'd be a pretty swift victory for Bron, and that's what happened.
Yeah, I mean, it was largely one-way traffic. You know, Bron, the match went like 5 minutes, so, which I think that's kind of the direction it should have went. I think Bron should have got a win quick. Now that Bron won it now, just a month later, in the way he won it, I really look back on Money in the Bank and just wonder why, you know, why didn't he just win it then? Because I don't feel like this did any more for Sammy or Braun to hold off the month.
Yeah, it seems kind of pointless, but it also, I don't really care though.
Yeah, we got there either way. So not much to complain about. I thought it was cool that they showed Rick and Scott Steiner in the suite celebrating the win for Braun. That's a nice touch.
The only bad part about the last month and the fact that they didn't just have Braun win it at Money in the Bank is pretty much the only other thing we accomplished was making Dragunov look bad.
Yeah.
Other than that, not a huge deal. I mean, how long do you think Braun is going to have the Intercontinental title?
I would think a little bit of time. It's hard because Gunther just had the record-breaking reign and 4 months ago. So I don't want to see anything crazy long. But, you know, he could carry this thing into Mania or maybe Royal Rumble. You know, like if he's carrying it until, like, Royal Rumble time, drops it around then, and then, you know, at WrestleMania he's set up with a bigger match. Like, I'm okay with that, but yeah, I think his reign will be longer than Sammy's was. You know, Sammy's was like 4 months, so I'm okay with that. I think this has the potential to be a really good Intercontinental title reign.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, one thing's for sure, you can't have him lose again for a pretty long while. And then you would think once the belt comes off him, is he in the world title picture?
I would imagine so, yeah.
Yeah. So probably after WrestleMania, he'll move up the card, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, if the mid-card titles are used properly, that's what it should do. You know, it should elevate these guys into the main event scene. So yeah, I mean, I would imagine that this is almost like a test run to see how you do as champion.
Right.
Yeah, one other thing I want to say is I didn't see this until this week, but this is actually Sami Zayn's first SummerSlam match. That's kind of crazy. And, you know, he's been on the main roster for 9 years and then finally gets on and then loses in 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's a bizarre fact. How has he managed to avoid having a SummerSlam match to this point?
I don't know. It kind of blew my mind. I saw he had one pre-show match back in 2015, and that's it. But, yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy with how over he's been and how much of a main character he's been on the show. But, yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. You want to go into Nia winning the world or the WWE Women's Championship from Bayley?
Yeah. So another one that was – I mean, overall, this card was very predictable outside of one, maybe two matches. But, yeah, I mean, this one went down pretty much exactly like – we'd expected, again, like Nia and Bayley back and forth. Tiffany comes in to help Nia. You think it's supposed to be ambiguous whether Tiffany actually wanted to cash in or whether it was purely a decoy to help Nia?
I would imagine she's probably going to play it off like she was helping Nia, but I think her intentions were to actually cash in.
Yeah, for sure that's how she'll play it off. And it didn't seem like Nia was suspicious of it at all.
Right, she so almost was like, just happy.
Yeah, that's how she interpreted it as well. So, I don't know, maybe there won't be much debate about that, but
yeah, I think over the next coming months we're going to have some fun with that, the threat of the cash in. You know, I mean, that's what we've been asking for since Tiffany won the briefcase anyways, is we want Nia to get the belt for that, you know, just so the briefcase is looming over her shoulder for months to come.
Yeah, exactly.
Overall, though, this wasn't a bad match either. You know, I mean, this was one of the better matches of the night, to be honest.
Yeah, I would probably put it maybe like third, fourth at the least. So at the very, at worst, it was middle of the pack.
Yeah, for sure. You want to talk about the other women's championship match?
Yeah. Yeah. What did you think of it?
Just as I predicted, Dirty Dom, you know, he shows why he's called Dirty Dom. You know, he really screwed Rhea, and I think this is the exclamation point this story needed. I think Rhea needed to be screwed like this and then show the anger while those two celebrate, you know. So I not much I would have changed about this. I was very happy with the outcome. The match was good. I think they told a good story.
The way the turn was actually executed in the match too, I think was perfect.
Yeah. Right, because like at first they kind of teased it, you know, the first time, and then they go back to it.
Yeah, with him grabbing the chair,
Yep.
but playing it off as, oh, you can't do that because then you'll get DQ'd. Yeah. Did you think the shoulder dislocation was like, did you like that or?
No, I mean, I had no problem with them working the shoulder because obviously that's why Rhea vacated the title is the shoulder injury, but Rhea trying to pop it back into place by running into the announce table and the turnbuckle, I probably could have done without that. I wasn't a big fan of that, especially the announce table part.
Yeah, it's too much overacting required to pull something like that off, and it just sort of makes me cringe a little bit.
Yeah, no,
But
I get
not
that.
the end of the world. It was a great match. And I mean, like we've been saying for a long time now, I mean, this has been the best story going in the WWE. And I mean, Dom is like, he's like the new rated R superstar.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what we've got on our hands. So fantastic. Fantastic. I'm very pleased.
Even the camera work too, when they zoom in on his face and then he has the smirk right after it happens. Like that was tremendous too, because you didn't know for sure that they were gonna go that direction, you know, or if he was gonna make it look like an accident or whatnot. But yeah, once they zoomed in and on that smirk, I was like, yeah, that's perfect.
Yep.
Anything else from that match stick out?
No.
No, just
That's pretty much
excited.
it. I mean, the match was fine. The match itself was fine, but it was all about the ending.
Yeah. Right. And then obviously it bleeds into the backstage where Priest comes back there to the clubhouse, freaking out, looking for Dom. Now, once that segment happened, did that change your pick? Because you originally picked Priest to beat Gunther.
Yeah, immediately. I was like, I really just didn't think enough about the connection between those two matches and the impact that it would have, because then obviously Priest, number one, Priest would be flustered. Number two, it would just signal a massive shakeup in the Judgment Day. So that would make Finn turning way, way more likely, which happened. So I just didn't think enough about that. We also didn't, it's not like we knew the order of the matches going into it, but you could have also potentially guessed that as well. So I just didn't think deeply. I needed to think a few layers further down the surface than I was about that match. But yeah, as soon as that segment happened, right after the Rhea Liv match, I was like, yeah, all right, Gunther's winning.
Yeah. Now, I kind of had the same thought. I mean, I originally picked Gunther, but once I seen that, I was like, yeah, Gunther's definitely winning. I still didn't know for sure Finn was going to turn, though. You know, I mean, he kind of hinted at it, you know, at the closing of their backstage segment, but I still didn't think it was going to happen yet. I was kind of hoping Finn was going to try to cover for Priest a little longer or cover for Dom a little longer. But ultimately, yeah, I mean, he's the one that costs Priest the world title. Are you happy with that being the outcome of the world title change?
Yeah, I definitely don't have a problem with it. I think now that I've seen Gunther with the title, I'm like, all right, I think this is gonna work pretty well. So I'm actually kind of happy about it. And yeah, even after that segment, I wasn't thinking too much about Finn, but I should have been.
Yeah. And that, I mean, honestly, you know, at first, I mean, Finn puts Gunther's leg on the rope, and then Priest watched the replay. That's one thing that's good, too. You know, we had talked about that a few weeks ago. We like the people that realize that this is a show. You know, like Priest being smart enough to watch the replay. Because all we see so many times in wrestling, they don't watch the replay or they don't, you know, do things like that. So it's smart enough that he at least realized that. And then, I mean, they did a good false finish too, because once Gunther has him in the choke at first, and then Priest, you know, kind of busts out of it, he rolls him over, get, you know, the pins there. It kind of gave me a little hope Priest was going to retain, because I mean, I wanted Priest to win. You know, I didn't want to see Gunther. I thought it was better to keep Priest because this crowd was, they were feeling Priest's as a babyface. You know, I mean, I said we're working towards that, and I mean, he's obviously full fledged now, and I think the people want to celebrate Priest, and I think they're appreciative of, you know, the work he's put in and the star he's becoming. I'm not totally upset Gunther won, just because Priest has such a big story going with the Judgment Day. So he's got something big going. He's not just going to fall down the card and be in a meaningless feud. I think the Judgment Day feud is still one of the top stories going.
Yeah, it's connected to the best story. And that's probably number two.
Yeah. I think with the new version of the Judgment Day, they might need to recruit somebody, because, yeah, the Liv's probably going to be a part of it now. But now the men are Finn, JD, Carlito, and Dom. You know, there's not really anybody physically imposing. I mean, Carlito's a jobber at this point. Dom, obviously, I mean, he doesn't win matches. JD's kind of just an enhancement guy too, you know. These guys don't win matches other than Finn for the most part. Obviously, JD and Finn are the tag champs, but I kind of think they need a heavy, you know. Like, I think I would like to see them add just one more member.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you think we get just like a, like, is Carlito just going to be kind of an odd man out a little bit? Like, I could see Carlito just getting the shit beat out of him on one of these upcoming episodes, and then he's kind of gone.
I don't know. I mean, they've kind of went to bat for Carlito, Finn, and, you know, like, he's kind of been the guy that wants Carlito to stick around. So I think in Finn's version of the Judgment Day, Carlito will probably be safe.
Okay, all right. As far as who could come in and help them, who do we have? Who are the options?
I mean, there's not somebody that necessarily sticks out immediately. Like, I don't think there's a perfect fit. So I think they're going to have to be creative here. But I wouldn't have predicted Carlito to join. So, you know, like, it could be a number of people. Obviously, Karrion Kross has his own stable going right now, but, like, naturally, I think he would be somebody that would have fit in with these guys. I don't think we'll get that because he has his own faction, as I said, but I don't know. I mean, they got to be creative, but I think they need to just get a little more beef in this faction now moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, you got, as far as, like, physically imposing people, you've got Braun Strowman, who's a babyface. You've got Baron Corbin, who is a face, but, like,
he's on SmackDown anyways.
Yeah, and nobody really cares about him anyway. And then, yeah, other than that, I don't really know. I don't think there's really a great pool to pick from.
Yeah, I mean, they might not add someone, but we'll see. I mean, I'm interested to see who Gunther's first challenger is too. Do you have any early guesses on that?
Because no, I honestly, no. Yeah, no clue.
Yeah, no, I don't either. I was trying to think about it. It's kind of too early to tell right now. I could see, I don't think Priest is getting a rematch. So I think, you know, his sights are fully set on Finn now. I mean, obviously, he essentially lost the world title seeking the revenge for Finn. You know, at the end of the match, he, instead of going after Gunther, he was trying to get his hands on Finn. So I think he's completely moved away. Maybe we see Seth, Gunther, maybe we see something like that. But as of right now, I don't think there's anybody that, you know, jumps off the paper.
Yeah, Seth is probably the most likely because, I mean, we're going to get Punk through, what, another 1-2 times?
Yeah.
So Seth is going to be kind of in limbo until that's over, where we would assume that he'll be going, he'll be feuding with Punk.
Yeah.
So maybe Seth takes the title from Gunther, and then it's Punk Seth for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine Gunther will have somewhat of a long reign. But, yeah, I mean, I kind of think at Mania, this far out, we're going to get Seth versus Punk for the world title. So one of those two have to get it by then. But we've got some time. It's kind of early to tell. I think Bash at Berlin, they're probably going to want to give Gunther a big win there.
Yeah, I think with what I just laid out, Gunther can have it for at least, like, four months.
Yeah.
He could maybe lose it at the Royal Rumble, and then we get Seth Punk at Mania.
Yeah, I'd be good with that. I would have no issue with that. I mean, we're talking Seth Drew Punk already. Let's get into that match.
Yeah, this is the other match I got wrong. Again, I feel like it should have been more obvious to me. There were just so many ways for Punk to get distracted by the bracelet, by Seth. I knew once he hit Seth with the GTS, obviously he wasn't going to be winning that match. So, yeah, what did you think of the match?
I thought the bracelet was overdone. I'm not really a big fan of the bracelet anyways. I get people, you know, certain things are sentimental value, things like that. But, I mean, this, I don't know. It just took away from the match. I think with Seth as the ref, with the bracelet, there was just a lot of moving pieces. And the story of Drew versus Punk, I felt like wasn't really being told the best way it could have been. I think, especially when, I mean, Seth has the bracelet on, you know, Punk gets the bracelet back. There's just too much going on for this little bracelet that I don't even care about to begin with. I get, like, okay, it has your wife's name on it, has your dog's name on it. But big deal.
Yeah, it's not like Drew McIntyre brutally murdered his wife and his dog, and now he's walking around with a bracelet.
Yeah.
Like, they're, you know, they're alive and well, and he's got this little chintzy bracelet with some plastic beads on it that spells out the name of his wife and his dog, and it's tearing apart his life, seeing Drew with that on his wrist. I mean, that was the best they could come up with. It's completely overdone.
Yeah, like, they're trying to, like, portray Punk as John Wick, essentially. And,
right,
you know, but the dog and the wife are home, healthy, you know, no issues. So, I don't know. That wasn't much for me. We've seen home invasions in the past. You know, maybe if Drew had invaded his home and threatened something there. But until we see something like that, the bracelet's just not going to touch for me. So, I hope at least in the next few matches, we kind of get away from that. Obviously, Drew walks away with the bracelet still, so I guess that's going to be a featured piece still. I mean, they almost were putting more value on this bracelet than an Intercontinental title, you know?
Yeah, if it was like CM Punk's wife left him for Drew McIntyre, and now he's running around with this bracelet, I could see that how that would trigger you.
Mm-hmm. What would your reaction be if the next match is a ladder match and the bracelet's hanging in the balance?
Oh my God.
I mean, that would be awful.
That'd be one of the worst things I've ever seen in the WWE, honestly.
Yeah, I wouldn't rule it out with how much they're putting importance on this bracelet.
I'm going to remain optimistic, and I would be shocked if it got that bad.
Yeah, hopefully not, but it definitely looks like it's going to be a big piece. But let's talk about Seth as ref. You know, is this what you were hoping for with him as ref? Obviously, it went both ways with, you know, issues with Drew and Punk. Were you looking for more, a little less? Where are you at?
I feel like exactly what happened is pretty much what I expected. Like, as far as, you know, how much his presence interfered, which was a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I just wasn't as ecstatic about it as I expected to be. Like, I expected it to be so great. It was good, but I don't know. It could have just been the mood I was in, or like me being tired or something, but it just didn't really hit that well for me.
Yeah, I think we could have done without it. I wouldn't say completely took away from the match, but I don't really think it added to the match. It was essentially a cheap.
It almost felt like a triple threat.
Yeah, exactly. Without one guy wrestling, you know, it was almost just a cheap way to get Punk pinned. That's kind of how I viewed it: is just protect Punk, but let him eat the pin, and then he can blame Seth later on.
But I think it did allow Punk to get pinned without making him look any worse for the wear.
Yeah. He didn't look weak, for sure.
Right.
You know, I mean, honestly, they did have a solid match. It was good. There was some good story in the match. But the next one, I don't know. It's kind of weird that we're just going to get Punk Drew one on one next, just given like how important Seth was to this match.
Yeah. I still feel like we haven't seen that. That match just didn't feel like a real match.
Yeah.
That's all. But yeah, I think Punk actually comes out of the match looking stronger in a way, because I mean, he essentially pinned Drew twice, at least twice.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I felt like in the first half of the match, Seth was kind of affecting both of them equally. But then in the second half, it really felt like Punk versus Seth and Drew. It felt like a 2-on-1.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's kind of what I thought it was going to end up being. I thought that was going to be, that's why I picked Drew, because I thought Punk's issue with Seth was just greater than Drew's issue with Seth. So that's kind of why I lean that way.
Yeah.
But it does kind of feel like there's a lot of meat on the bone left with Punk and Seth, which of course, I mean, we think that's what they're going to build towards, but it's kind of weird that they had like this build here. And then we're probably not going to touch on that match for a few months, maybe even 6 months from now.
Right. Yep.
But what are your thoughts on the ref cam? You know, we've seen that a couple times throughout the night. I wasn't a big fan of it. I think it's a cool idea, but anytime they switch to it, I was like, you know, I'd rather just see the regular cam. The quality's not as good. The angle's not as good.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it sounds cool, but it does absolutely nothing to enhance the experience whatsoever and just makes it worse, if anything.
Yeah.
Doesn't need to exist at all. Like, they don't ever need to do that again. But unfortunately, I'm sure they will.
Yeah, the only time I think I would be okay with it is on a pinfall count. You know, so like maybe you get a better view of the shoulders if they want to lean into that kind of aspect. But yeah, like when the action's going on, I don't need to see the ref cam.
Agreed.
Anything else you want to touch on? I mean, we could talk Jelly Roll segment if you want.
Yeah, we can. That's the only thing we didn't touch on.
Yeah.
Nice little choke slam from Jelly Roll. What'd you think of that segment?
Yeah, it was cool. I didn't have an issue with it. I think fun segments like that, you know, are enjoyable for everybody. It helps capture the mainstream audience too. You know, him choke slamming Theory was cool. The 15 knuckle shuffle they did together, you know, it's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. And usually you don't see celebrities doing, you know, it's usually just like a chair shot or a punch to the face, something like that. But I like that he actually did a wrestling move.
Yeah.
It's not like the choke slams. Sorry. Yeah. It's not like the choke slam super hard to execute or anything, but.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. And I think it was cool to get Theory and Waller out there a little bit too.
Yeah. Again, Theory, not made to look good. Once again, I mean, he's getting beat down by Jelly Roll, so tough to see the fall from grace for him. We'll see what the future holds, but yeah. What do you grade the PLE overall?
With a letter or
I was thinking letter, but you could do a scale of 10, whatever you want to do, and then I'll use the same scale.
I'll do a number scale. I would give this like 8.8. I mean, we saw four title changes. We saw some good action. I wasn't upset with anything, really. So, yeah, I give it a pretty good score.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say maybe a little lower, like 8.2.
Yeah, definitely enjoyable. Yeah, another PLE. I retain my predictions championship over you. And I'm looking forward to defending it at Bash of Berlin.
Yeah. What was Solo's... So what's Solo's record over the past however many matches where he's like 1-50 or whatever?
Yeah, it was something crazy. He lost like 90 matches in a row or something.
Yeah, that'll be like me with the confidence points. We're going to be looking back in like 5 years. I'll be 1-70.
Yeah. Hey, it's just got to be that one.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Tag Teamers Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to follow, like, comment, subscribe, wherever you're watching or listening. We will be back on Tuesday morning with our recap of Monday Night Raw following SummerSlam.